The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Love. Courage. Truth. Glenn Beck.
George W. Bush. In a stunning attack, Bush accuses Trump of promoting falsehoods and prejudice. End quote. That's the headline. The headline from the LA Times yesterday about President Bush's speech at the George Bush Institute in New York. Headline is what we might classify as, I don't know, spin. George Bush never flat out accused Trump of anything in his speech, but he did call for the awareness of a disturbing trend of nationalism that has become popular with Trump and the right.
We've seen nationalism distorted into nativism. We've forgotten the dynamism that immigration has always brought to America. We see a fading confidence in the value of free markets and international trade, forgetting that conflict, instability, and poverty follow in the wake of protectionism. We've seen the return of isolationist sentiments, forgetting that American security is directly threatened by the chaos and despair of distant places where threats such as terrorism, infectious disease, criminal gangs, and drug trafficking tend to emerge.
Okay, so everything that he said rings true. I don't think they were directed at Trump, but anyone who participates in the isolationist mindset, protectionism, nationalism. They have never, ever been a part of American success. Never. We've never needed them to be proud citizens of the home of the free and the brave. Our pride in America emanates outward, not inward. We want to share everyone. We want to share our values, our principles, and our prosperity. That's what makes us great. Come over here. Participate. Share in this. But because they just wanted to kill Trump, his words fell on deaf ears. The left just heard him say, Trump, bad. And now George W. Bush is suddenly a progressive darling, which I can't take anymore. How is George Bush all of a sudden a leftist hero? I guess it happens when you completely ignore the later comments in the same speech where he excoriated their side as well.
There are some signs that the intensity of support for democracy itself has waned, especially among the young, who never experienced the galvanizing moral clarity of the Cold War, or never focused on the ruin of entire nations by socialist central planning. Some have called this democratic deconsolidation. Really, it seems to be a combination of weariness, frayed tempers, and forgetfulness.
Look, here's the deal. Both the right and the left are facing philosophical and ideological challenges at the moment. Both sides. It took George W. Bush to sit us down and explain why we're both looking at American democracy in the wrong light. I fear, however, the right and the left will only listen to his words when it suits them. Before you trash or exalt Bush for the edited soundbite you heard that might have been promoted in your carefully selected news feed, I implore you, it's 15 minutes long, listen to the entire thing.
Friday, October 20th. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Look, both sides are imploding, and I, for one, am fine with that. I am fine with that. I don't want to be, I don't know what it means to be a Republican anymore. What does it mean, Stu, to be a Republican? Honestly, what do they stand for anymore?
Is that an honest question?
That's honest question.
There's nothing.
Right?
Because, and again, like, that is sort of a function of the parties.
Yes.
I think we've brought this into this world where we think these parties are supposed to stand for something. They don't.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the platform. I mean, half the candidates disagree with what the platform is. The platform means nothing. It's just a document that they pass and then ignore. You know, they're really, there isn't anything that they stand for in any real sense.
Correct. Nothing. Nothing. Yesterday, the Republican Senate passed the 2018 budget, paving the way for $1.5 trillion in tax cuts. Okay, well, tax cuts. We're for tax cuts.
Sure.
How about the spending? Nope. Nope. Just the tax cut. We're gonna pass the budget so we can get the tax cuts. But the spending is going to stay. No, we're for small government. We're for limited spending. But that isn't part of it anymore.
Yeah, I think your problem with that sentence is we're. First of all, you're not even a Republican.
No.
But second of all, there is no we're. Like, the idea of these parties having principles is not even what they're designed to do. It's designed to bring a bunch of people with somewhat similar viewpoints together to win elections, period. And so people are talking about how the party is changing. It will change to whatever it has to change to win elections. And honestly, really more than that, just to oppose whatever the Democrats are doing. If the Democrats decide that they're going to be for lower taxes, you'd see the Republicans decide they're for higher ones. I mean, it really winds up being just team jerseys. That's why you have to be bigger than the parties. You have to be able to step outside of that and disagree with your own side. Or what value are you?
And look at how things are coming undone. Let's look at the left. The New York Times, the press in general is a mess. It's a mess. The average millennial doesn't believe the press. They don't believe the New York Times or, you know, the Drudge Report. They don't believe it. They don't even believe in social media. If you look at the credibility of the press, it is gone. Look at the systems of the liberal press. It's gone. Well, don't cheer, because look at the systems of the press on the right. It doesn't exist. So they're both being flushed down the toilet. Look at Hollywood. Hollywood is in flames. Hollywood doesn't have any credibility. Hollywood isn't you know, this Harvey Weinstein thing is killing Hollywood.
For the first time ever, it may be more popular to be a Republican than to be in Hollywood.
Yes.
It is not a fun time.
I mean, it's bad. So what is the left going to do? They've taken a real issue with Harvey Weinstein, and because they're imploding, and because the left just, mark my words, this is going to happen, because the left wants us to stop talking about how bad Hollywood is, they will ratchet up their attacks on anyone else they can find anything on. They tried to do it with Donald Trump, but it didn't work. But they're just going to do anything they can. And what will they do in the end? The credibility of a woman saying, hey, I have a real problem. There's a really a bad guy here. They won't have any credibility in the end. Because this is going to, they're going to do what they always do and overplay their hand. Do you think anybody is afraid of being called a racist anymore? A racist is a joke now. Did you hear what's her name? The congresswoman that's been taking on Donald Trump on the Gold Star Mothers. What's her name?
Wilson? Frederica Wilson?
I guess. Yeah. Let's see here. Yeah, Frederica Wilson.
Had you ever heard of her before yesterday?
No, never heard of her. And we'll never hear of her again. Okay, so here's this congresswoman who's enjoying her 15 minutes of limelight. And she came out yesterday after Kelly, in his speech, said, you know, it's like an empty barrel is always the loudest one. Okay, I haven't shouted into an empty barrel or heard anybody shout through an empty barrel, so I'm not sure if it's the loudest one, but okay, whatever. That seems like an old-timey kind of comment. She immediately jumped to, it's a racist comment. How? First of all, I believe it's a Shakespeare line, is it not?
Empty vessels, yeah. Empty vessels make the most noise.
Okay. So it's I mean, unless Shakespeare is now racist.
Probably was.
He probably was.
What was his opinion on affirmative action? He didn't exactly even talk about it.
He never talked about it.
Unbelievable. What is he talking about? Colin Kaepernick taking a knee. Didn't even address the thing.
So racism has no teeth anymore. Sexual assault will have no teeth. It will have no teeth. We are taking our language, our institutions, and we are flushing them down the toilet. All of it is gone. ESPN. Why is ESPN's credibility bad? Because they adopted the agenda. They became all about politics. Why is the NFL in trouble? Because they made it about politics and adopted the left's agenda. And it's absolutely crumbling. The problem is, we're not doing much better. How's your church doing? How's the credibility of religion? How's the ratings on Christians? What's the latest public opinion on how great Christians are? Now, part of that is because of the attack, but also part of that is because we're not Christians, please. You go to church. You follow your doctrine, maybe. Christian? When's the last time you forgave somebody who just, it was impossible to forgive? When's the last time you crossed the street for your enemy and help them? Christians have a bad name because of the PR, but Christians also have a bad name because we just think we're holier than thou. We just think we're the greatest. Everybody else is going to hell, but we're fine. No matter what we're doing, we say one thing and live another. See, that's the problem. All of these things, it boils down to just that idea. Say one thing, do another. How you want to fix your family? Say one thing and do that one thing. You want to fix the National Organization of Women? Say one thing, do one thing. You want some credibility, Al Gore? Say that CO2 is bad. And then stop taking jets. Say that small houses are better to reduce your carbon footprint, and then live in a really small house. Say one thing, do one thing. You say you're for everybody is equal and everyone deserves a shot? Good. Then take the person that you disagree with most and bring them into the fold. You say you're for tolerance? Do you tolerate the other side? Or do you just dismiss them as crazy? As un-American? As evil? As someone you have no sympathy for? As people that you put in their group are shot to death in the streets at a concert? You want to solve America's problems? Say what you mean and mean what you say. We all hear the stories in the news. Good guy uses a gun to protect his families from the criminals, and then he's the one who gets arrested. And thanks to our system, this actually happens a lot. And that's exactly what can happen to you unless you're fully prepared. Here's a way you can become prepared and your whole family. Take a journey to concealed carry and home defense and carry yourself with confidence. The 2017 Concealed Carry and Family Defense Guide is out from the U.S. Concealed Carry Association, and it's 100% free. And in it, you're going to learn how to detect attackers before they see you, how to survive a mass shooting, and the safest and most dangerous places to sit in restaurants, how to own a gun and how to store it responsibly, how to carry it responsibly. It's 164 pages, but it comes with a bonus audio version, so you can just listen to it on your way to work in the car. And it's a pretty life-changing guide, and here's why. If you are the person that ever has to draw your gun, you're going to know exactly what to do. You're going to know exactly how to defend yourself and your family, and then who you can rely on to defend you when the police arrive. I want you to go to protectanddefend.com right now. You'll get free access, instant access to the guide and to the audio version. But you'll also find out how the USCCA can help you. Protectanddefend.com. Go there now. Protectanddefend.com.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
I mean, how long can a society or an ideology last? It's only a matter of time, and again, it will come down to if you're willing to shoot to protect these ideas. For instance, now trigger warnings for Shakespeare plays. We can all start to say, stop it, stop it. And we can all start engaging in some common sense. Or the left will continue to grow. And don't get me wrong, the right will do it too on their things. And the extreme right will continue to grow. And it will become more and more insane. And then it just gets down to the people in charge. Are they willing to shoot to defend these things? You have to have a trigger warning now for Shakespeare. Okay, I don't think so, but okay.
That's and you where, be mm-hmm. triggered from boredom? Is that a...
Well, if anybody understood Shakespeare, you know, then maybe you'd have a trigger warning. How about this one? Indiana University's Housing and Residence Life Program just hosted a, quote, practice Halloween. So the students could learn how to avoid offensive and insulting costumes when they grow up and attend Halloween parties on October 31st.
I actually practice Halloween the 364 other days, but that's just by the eating the candy to get ready.
Yes.
Just in case.
Yes.
I don't necessarily dress up. That's a less important part of it.
Right. Because you want to be woke. And so the university is just trying to test people's wokeness. And I appreciate a university using the words wokeness. I think that's appropriate. What do we have? A bunch of 5-year-olds? Is this what you're paying for?
Well, I gotta say, if you have to follow the rules they're implementing on Halloween costumes, I do need practice. I have no idea. The whole point of Halloween is to dress up as something that you are not. And yet their rule is don't appropriate culture if you are not part of that culture.
Right.
So basically, there are no costumes that fit in unless you're dressing up as yourself. It's really the only safe thing to do. And even then,
you can dress up. Wait, I think you can dress up as somebody who surrenders. Because you're French. You have French background. So I couldn't, but you could.
No, you want to go over the German costumes you could dress up as comfortably, Mr. Beck? Is this a road you want to go down? I don't think so.
No, but I couldn't dress up as those because those are just too offensive.
Oh, but it's your culture, Glenn. I don't understand.
It's not my
your
culture.
Your culture.
It's not my
it
culture.
It comes right from your
soul. You better
soul.
Surrender. they handed out a picture of the Mario Brothers and said that this was safe. Wait a minute. Mario is that's the Italian culture. That's the stereotypical Italian guy. That's a safe thing. They did recommend dressing as a Pocahontas.
They recommended against it.
Against.
Which is a hot
dressing,
Pocahontas?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. Like Pocahotty, they said, is
great.
Is frowned upon. Mm-hmm. But dressing as the Fonz is not. And how many people, seriously, in college today are thinking, I've got to dress as the Fonz?
Oh, it's very popular.
Very
with
popular.
With the youth today.
Yeah.
And isn't that also an Italian stereotype?
Maybe.
Kind of?
Kind of, maybe.
Fonzarelli?
Yeah.
Right?
Maybe.
I mean, I don't think there's anything safe. There's no safe in the safe space.
How long does a culture last when college has practiced Halloweens?
Glenn Beck. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
We're getting to a place where we can't talk to each other at all. I don't know if you saw. Do you remember Walter Hawk Newsom? He's the Black Lives Matter activist that was protesting a Trump rally. And they said, no, free speech. You speak and then we'll speak. We'll give you the microphone. And he spoke. Well, now Black Lives Matter is really upset. They said he did a photo op and he dismantled a lot of the work that our groups have been doing for effing years. It's unfortunate that somebody who's so well educated could represent the community from a more radical perspective. He had to stoop to being tokenized by white supremacists. Well, okay, so what are they saying? Don't talk to anyone. Don't try to bridge any gaps at all. Don't allow them to see you as a human being. How do we do this? How do we do this if we're controlled by politics and then because we're afraid of each other? Look at what's happening in Hollywood now. How does anyone work in movies? For instance, Westworld. Do you remember the thing in Westworld that they had to sign? If you were an actor or an actress, you had to sign a deal that said you will be posed in uncomfortable positions. Your body will be touching other bodies.
Yeah, and talk was like it was very invasive and women had to basically give up all their rights.
Men and women. Everybody had to sign it. Mm-hmm. How are you going to do that? How are you going to be able to have anything in Hollywood, in entertainment, even eventually in our own lives?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how you make any controversial content or at all. Listen to this. This is a tweet I saw, and it was from someone who it was a woman who went to go work for an organization. It was a content organization, and she tweeted a part of her employment agreement.
Mm-hmm.
And she decided not to take the job. She refused to take the job because of this. Okay? She refused a brand new job that she wanted and applied for because of this. This is what it said. I understand that this company is involved in the entertainment industry. I further understand that because the company's business requires a creative working environment, including exposure to offensive speech, I may be exposed to conduct and speech that openly and explicitly relates to sex as well as race, sexual orientation, gender, national origin, religion, disability, and age. I acknowledge that I may be privy to conversations where offensive speech, work scripts or roles that involve nudity, sexual scenarios, racial epithets, suggestive gestures, profanity, and references to stereotypes is utilized. I understand and acknowledge that as part of my job, I may be exposed to speech and conduct that explicitly relates to sex, sexual orientation, gender, national origin, religion, disability, and age. And I expressly agree and represent that I do not object to being exposed to such speech and conduct and do not find it otherwise offensive or objectionable, and that I'm willing to work in such an environment. Now, how does a company make, let me give you an example, Schindler's List without this agreement? How does a company make any movie? How does a company make Westworld?
May I boil it down? I'm listening to that and I'm thinking to myself, I think we should have everybody in my company sign that. Because look at what we look at dead bodies. We are talking about ISIS racism. We're talking about all of these things.
Coming up on the program today, we'll discuss the first sex doll brothel. Now, we talked about that in a meeting. Mm-hmm. We had to do research on it, right? I mean, this is not even, you know, this is a crazy example. How do you, this was so offensive and so crazy that she thought it was like, I'm going to tweet this so everyone can see the ridiculous things women have to deal with in the workplace. Now, look, if you don't want to deal with that, I think that's understandable. Like, I wouldn't want to go work at a porn film manufacturer because it's just not what I want to do with my life. But if I was going to go work at the porn film manufacturer, I should sign something like this.
Yeah, not only that, I mean, Stu, honestly, most of that applies to your job.
Oh, absolutely it does.
I mean, so...
We're constantly discussing things when people make offensive comments in the media. We have to talk about offensive speech towards, sometimes it's racial epithets, sometimes it is.
We're constantly surrounded by that stuff.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
think of every show the left loves.
Oh,
think
yeah.
Think of Veep or Breaking Bad or any piece of content that pushes the envelope in any way. The View, for example. Again, I mean, literally all programming would be in this world. And I guess, like, you could say, as a person, that doesn't mean you can be harassed and assaulted in the workplace. That's not what this says. You're working in an environment where these things are discussed, and you have to be able to, as a company, if you're going to produce this content, you have to be able to say to your employees, look, you're going to hear some things that are offensive, and if you're so sensitive on that stuff that it bothers you, you probably shouldn't work here.
So here's the real solution on this. The real solution is that should not be signed by women or men. That should be signed by infants with their footprint. Welcome to the world. You're going to be surrounded by nincompoops and offensive things. So Harvey Weinstein is not doing well in sex rehab, apparently.
Oh, no.
He volunteered to go to rehab, and according to people, I guess, in the facility.
Oh, no. This is, I thought he was going to do really well with this, and you're really ruining my day so far.
One source says in one group therapy session, Harvey arrived 15 minutes late. Then when it was his turn to speak, he launched into a speech about how this was all a conspiracy against him. Then he fell asleep in his chair. He woke up by the ringing of his smuggled mobile phone, which is banned at the facility. He was jolted awake, jumped up, took the call, and ran out of the room. Another source close to Weinstein says he is no longer joining group sessions for, quote, obvious reasons. He insists that he never raped or assaulted anyone, and all of the counters were consensual. He realized he acted like a hole of some sort and insists that he's not a rapist. He does have his phone. When he's in therapy, he has to give it to someone else. The characterization of what he said and what happened in the group session is not true. I don't believe it. So I don't know if you saw the chauffeur. You know how all these stories end where he was like, the chauffeur will take you home. My driver will take you home. Get out.
Get out.
Get out. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So this has come from his French chauffeur, the man who ferried Weinstein around when he was over in Cannes or in France. He said Weinstein beat him when he took to meet a prostitute that didn't show up. The alleged beating put him out of commission for 4 days. He went crazy and hit me. At that moment, there was no question I would never work for him again. He did try to sue him for damages, but the local prosecutor in the town dismissed the charges. He said the women would enter the car with tears in their eyes. He said, I felt like driving poor innocent people, innocent girls, taking them to the wolf's mouth. I could not tell them where you put your feet. It's dangerous. He would, I guess, you know, he would meet people in his hotel room and he'd have these women driven to him. He said the one that marked me the most was a girl who was a fan of him, who loved him, who followed him for years. She gave her body, her soul. She gave everything to this man because he promised to make castings and make a film that was never shot. He said he would demand that the driver would leave him alone with the woman. And he said, I would often find traces of illicit products strung about. I don't know what that means.
Drugs, maybe.
The nickname among the locals in Cannes for Harvey became The Pig. One housekeeper at the Majestic Hotel where he stayed said, oh, him. Yeah, I love this. Oh, him. He was the ugly one who thought he was God.
That's actually on his business card.
He was very
the ugly one who thinks he's God.
He was very bossy. Men like George Clooney or Brad Pitt, they were such lovely men and so handsome, but not him. He was just a mean pig.
It's interesting. This is sort of the reverse of the Vegas shooting story. And that, like, with Vegas, it's like no one had any idea this guy was doing anything like this. There's no motive. There's no background. There's no trail. Nothing. This is, like, literally everyone who's ever met the guy thought he was doing something like this. They may not have known the extent. They may not have known he was committing crimes. But everyone seemed to know this guy was a complete dirtbag. And people like that didn't say anything. I mean,
well, Quentin Tarantino came out and said he knew a lot more than... He said, I should have said something.
Yeah, and he did, you know, he did a lot of movies with him. I mean, all of his work.
All of his big movies.
Yeah, all of his big stuff. He said, I knew enough to do more than I did. There was more to it than just normal rumors, the normal gossip. It wasn't secondhand. I knew he did a couple of these things. I wish I had taken responsibility for what I had heard. If I had done the work I should have done then, I would have not worked with him anymore. He was dating Mira Sorvino after... Weinstein.
And I guess Brad Pitt did know because Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt confronted him. So Brad Pitt did say something to Harvey Weinstein just for the Angelina stuff.
Yeah. And Quentin said basically he was dating her and he knew Harvey wouldn't violate his relationship. So he thought she was protected and he just brushed
it off. Oh my gosh. So a guy, instead of going and stopping the other guy, he's just like, don't worry, you're under my umbrella now. That's bad.
Yeah, not good. It's not a good look.
You know, I thought of this last night. All these people who are now living with the shame, and they're going to convince themselves that they had nothing they could do, because that's what happened. I mean, you know, if you look at the Germans that were involved and did nothing. You know, they all convinced themselves, there was nothing we could do. And maybe not, but they had to live a life of shame. And these people are living a life of shame. They're going to be tormented in their own head because they know they didn't rise to the occasion. And so the question that we should all be asking ourselves now is, because I really believe tough times just aren't sprung on you. It's not like everything is great and then the next day it sucks. And you're living under Hitler, it happens slowly. And you have opportunities to stop that slide all the way along. But society, you know, it's in our Declaration of Independence. People are more likely to live with tyrants than they are to upset the apple cart. Now, that's obviously butchering the Declaration of Independence, but you're more likely to just go along with it.
There wasn't an apple cart reference in the Declaration of Independence. Are you sure about that?
No, apple carts. They're racist. It's human nature to just go along and let it slide. And if you don't prepare yourself to stand up in the easy times, now he might have thought that was really hard. But now he's looking at that and going, geez, that was easy. I should have done that. Don't put yourself in a position to where you're ever having to say, I should have done X, Y, or Z. Do it. Do it. Don't live with the regret. And it's a muscle. Courage is a muscle. If you're not exercising it in the smallest of ways, telling your kid what you should be telling your kid, telling your spouse what you should be telling your spouse, saying something to somebody that is important, that is hard for them to hear, but you should say it. If you aren't exercising that muscle of courage at the smallest, most personal level, you will never be able to stand when it really counts. Do want your home sold for the most money? Nah. I mean, why? How about on time? Absolutely not. I like it to drag on for a long time.
I like to do a nice thing for the buyer. You know, give them a good deal. You know, maybe half price.
Right.
You know, maybe 50-60% off.
If they can just really stab me to death, financially speaking, I'm in love with that.
Yeah, because you'll feel good about yourself for helping others.
Right. No, that doesn't work out that way. No. When you need a real estate agent, don't do what I've done for years and people always do. You just say to somebody, you're like, hey, do you know of somebody?
Yeah, my brother.
Somebody in your family, a friend who's a real estate agent. Don't do that. This is a really big deal in your life. You need somebody who is absolutely the best. You need somebody that has a track record. You also need somebody who is honest as the day is long. We have over 1,000 agents all over America who are just like you. Their bond is their word. They're fans of the show. They share your sensibilities. Our agents are personally vetted by my team, and we look for their knowledge, their skill, their track record, and their credibility. Thousands of families have already put realestateagentsitrust.com to the test, and the results are remarkable, and you can find out all about them at realestateagentsitrust.com. Helping families who are moving to another area, families who are taking care of their parents remotely, helping families get the most out of their home quickly, finding a new home. Go to realestateagentsitrust.com. You're looking for a great real estate agent who's going to sell your home on time and for the most money, or help you buy a new home. realestateagentsitrust.com.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
You know, can I ask you an honest question? I have up on the screen, you know, we have four monitors in front of me, and so we can watch the networks. And on one of them, I've changed it about 10 days ago to the Megyn Kelly show, because I wanted to see what Megyn was doing after everybody was writing and you know, just trashing her. I wanted to see for myself. It can't be that bad. Now, I haven't listened to any of it, but I've just been monitoring her topics and what she's doing, et cetera, et cetera. And I think she looks good, and the show looks good, and her topics are really strong. And what she's doing is empowering women. But it's really gotten me to think the last few days, who's empowering men? Can you think of a show that is empowering men, or empowering men to be better fathers, empowering boys and saying, hey, you know, boys, it's okay, it's strong. Dads, here's how you raise them to be strong. I can't think of a mainstream show that's doing that.
Glenn Beck.
We all know that traveling for business can be a mega disaster. It can be horrific. I mean, I saw the picture of some woman who was on a plane and took her shoes off, which is already a huge violation in my book, but then also took the socks off, which is like, I mean, we're into catastrophe of regions, but then put the bare feet on the armrests in front of them, so they were poking through the person's seat. These are the sorts of things you need to avoid when you're doing business travel. And I don't know if the feet thing can be avoided by our friends at Upside, but I will say this. They have the 6-star treatment from customer service specialists they call navigators, and they actually will navigate you away from a lot of these disasters. They can get you out of middle seats. They can do all the things to make your business travel easier. Plus, they're going to give you the lowest prices, and you're going to get a gift card of $100 to Amazon.com if you use the code BECK for a minimum $100 gift card to Amazon.com. Upside.com is the place to go. Minimum purchase required. See site for complete details.
Love. Courage. Truth. Glenn Beck.
Is nothing sacred in this country anymore? Anything? Representative Frederica Wilson's politicizing of a phone call between President Trump and a Gold Star mom is disgusting. But if you heard General Kelly yesterday respond, you heard him ask much deeper questions than I've heard from anyone else.
And I thought, at least that was sacred. You know, when I was a kid growing up, a lot of things were sacred in our country. Women were sacred. and looked upon with great honor. That's obviously not the case anymore, as we see from recent cases. Life, the dignity of life, was sacred. That's gone. Religion, that seems to be gone as well. Gold Star families, I think that left in the convention over the summer. But I just thought the selfless devotion that brings a man or woman to die on the battlefield, I just thought that that might be sacred.
I listened to the whole thing. We're going to play his whole speech here later on in the broadcast. I don't think I've seen anything this emotional and this genuine from anyone in I don't know how long. If anyone has something to say of substance here, it's Kelly. He has lived this nightmare when his son was killed. Every American should listen to Kelly's, talking about what happens when our soldiers fall in combat, how he walked after this debate started, how he took an hour and a half and just walked Arlington Cemetery and how he looked for the names that he had ordered to do something that put them in the ground. What made this so devastating was knowing that, as he was describing in detail how a slain soldier is packed in ice and then laid in his coffin, he was visualizing his own memories, his own son, his own pain. He told the president that because of the pain involved, there's really no good way to talk about a soldier dying in combat to the family. But to Trump's credit, he tried anyway. Now, what does that say for the state of our country that someone was waiting to turn this into a political advantage? What is happening to us? Shame on Wilson and anyone else who's trying to score a win from this. To prompt a man that has lost a son in combat to explain how this works is insult on injury. And all of it because of politics. I can guarantee you that as he was walking through Arlington Cemetery, he was thinking, why am I serving? What am I serving? Who am I serving anymore? What country? What does it even stand for? One side may have started it, but we're both engaged in it now, and we have to stop it. Kelly deserves better than this. Gold Star families deserve better than this. Our country deserves better than this. You deserve better than this. Truly, is nothing sacred in this country anymore?
Friday, October 20th. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
The one, the only, Mr. Bill O'Reilly joins us now. Bill, did you see the did you see the speech from Kelly yesterday?
Yes. You left one thing out, though, which is really the crux of all the savagery, and that's the word, savagery, that's going on in this country right now, and that's the media. What happened was that 24 hours before the president made the call to the widow of the slain soldier in Niger, the family knew the president was going to call because you have to give them a heads up and find out where they're going to be and all of that. Then the family apparently alerts this Congresswoman Wilson. Why? Why? Would you, if it were your son, Beck, would you alert any politician?
Never.
That you were going to get a call from the president?
Never.
I wouldn't. Okay, so who would do that? What's the point of that? So then the call comes in, and they're in a car, apparently, on a speakerphone. And the president was disregarding the advice of General Kelly, his chief of staff, because General Kelly said, listen, the family's grieving. No matter what you say, is not really going to make a difference, and it's a very difficult situation for any president to be in. But you said to his credit, and I agree with that, but Donald Trump said, look, I want to try. I want to try to give them words of sympathy.
Look,
it is an honor to get a call from the President of the United States.
It is, and I will tell you this as a sidebar. We were all very, very upset. At least I was. Taya Kyle wasn't, but I was very upset, and I asked Taya Kyle for a year, has the President reached out at all? I mean, here's this great hero. Has the President reached out at all? Now, she didn't want the call, but still, it is something that a president should do.
Well, you're talking about President Obama.
Yes, I am. Yes.
Yeah. And he didn't, because there is no protocol that is in stone. I think there should be, and that's what I said on BillO'Reilly.com yesterday. There should be a way to handle these kinds of things that always happens. Now, I don't think that should require a phone call.
No, I don't think so either. No.
But the President is a commander-in-chief. He has the option to do that.
Yes.
So anyway, so the call comes into the limo, and they're all in the limo, and according to General Kelly, President Trump was trying to tell the widow that her husband was a hero because he voluntarily put his life at risk for his country. That was the theme of the call. He's a hero. He voluntarily, and I guess they use the word signed up, he knew the danger, but he did it anyway because he wanted to protect his country, which is a noble sentiment. Okay, so then the call's over. Within, 10 minutes, this congresswoman is calling into CNN. That can't happen spontaneously, Beck. That's got to be planned in advance. You can't just call up a major network and say, I want to be on your air. They got to vet you. They got to know who you are, all of that. So you can't tell me this wasn't a setup. It was an absolute setup. That is a huge story. The second huge story is, as they always do, the barbarians on the cable news and broadcast news believe every word Wilson says. Okay, like they were there. Even though Wilson, incredibly, admits, well, I didn't hear the whole phone call. How could you not possibly hear the home phone call if it's in a car on a speakerphone and you're sitting there? So right away, her credibility is zero. So I'm watching the cable news, and I'm seeing these hit one after the other, after the other. Oh, what a disgrace. This is horrible. He's insensitive. He's this. He's that. This is talking about Trump. They don't know what happened. They couldn't possibly know. Yet they use this once again to divide the country in a hateful way. And it's on them. It's on them. This media we have now is as corrupt as any time in our republic. This is off the chart. From the newspapers to the television programs to the internet. It is corrupt in the extreme, and it is harming the United States. No question.
Okay, so I want to go back to that. You sound like you're speaking with some passion there.
I'm really teed off.
No, Beck. I know you are.
I mean, I really am. I got to deal with this personally. I got to deal with this kind of crap all the time. You do. Anybody that doesn't toe the far left line is in danger now. I mean,
I will tell you that we have spoken off the air about my I had a day in court in Boston on the Boston bombing, and I had good government sources, and the government knew exactly what sources, and someday some journalist, well, no, they won't. Someday I just will just write a book, I guess, with this in it. But I have all of the documents. I have all of the transcripts from the trial. I have absolutely everything, including the ability to speak about the trial, because that was part of one of the conditions of the settlement. But I will tell you, it's not just the media. It is the government is corrupt. You cannot defend yourself if the government won't respond and abide by the constitutional constraints. And they don't. You have no way to defend yourself.
The only, and I sympathize because you were at Fox News Channel when you broke that story. And I am familiar with the story. And I know you didn't make it up. And I know you were going on people in the government telling you certain things. So that's absolutely true. But I don't have any expectation that the United States government would do anything for anybody at any time. Zero expectation on that. But what we have here is the president of the United States is now in a position where the media, about 80 to 90% of it, wants to destroy him.
Yes.
When has that ever happened? How can you run a democracy when the media doesn't care about the truth or any kind of accurate reportage? Their whole bent every single day is to destroy the leader of the country.
Yeah, I don't know how you can run a democracy, let alone a republic like ours.
I mean, it is shameful and disgraceful. And the politicians on both sides, you know, they're scrambling for cover. They go, I don't want to be in this. You know, I give Kelly a lot of credit. I said on BillO'Reilly.com yesterday, look, you expect the chief of staff to defend his boss, the president. You expect that. Okay, so we have to listen to what Kelly has to say very closely, as you pointed out. But what he brought to the explanation was logic. Here's what was said and why it was said. And then his disgust with this congresswoman who hates Trump, trying to make it a political issue. But he didn't take it the step further, is that the media immediately grabbed on to this corrupt congresswoman, and ran with it. That's what they always do. And it's just sickening.
So, Bill, here we are. We're looking at this corrupt media. Do you see a way out of this?
I don't. I mean, I've been in this business 43 years. And you know, I try to run an honest program, as do you. I wouldn't be appearing here every Friday if I thought you weren't. I'm trying to run an honest enterprise at BillO'Reilly.com and look at things and verify things and check things out. And if I can't get it, I don't say it. But you put on these cables and they don't, I'm not going to use an obscenity, but you know what I'm talking about. They couldn't care less. It's, we're going to get Trump. Going to get him today. Here's how we're going to get him. Tomorrow we'll get him this way. And we'll get O'Reilly. We'll get Beck. We'll get Limbaugh. We'll get Hannity. We'll get anybody we disagree with. We'll get them.
So do you believe that the right is, some people in the right are engaging in this same behavior? We'll get the left. We'll get the media. Doesn't matter who they are or what they've done.
Certainly there in the Hillary Clinton situation, there's an element of that. And I'm not sympathetic to Mrs. Clinton. Okay, I'm not. I think she's an imperious woman, word of the day, imperious, who lost the election because people flat out didn't like her. And I mean, if there's one person I would not want to dine with, it would be her. Okay, I just don't have any use for her at all. But there is an element on the right that incorporates some of these scorched earth, I hate you tactics. But it's not even in the same universe as organized and funded as it is on the far left. It's individuals on the far right. Okay? So you can't make the comparison because they don't have the megaphone, number one. They don't have the organized cabal. And, you know, there are various websites like Breitbart and Daily Caller and something like that. They do their thing, but it's not nearly what it is when you have Comcast, NBC, you have CNN. I mean, these are huge, huge conglomerates. So I don't think there's any comparison.
Okay, back with Bill O'Reilly from BillO'Reilly.com in just a second. From Business Insider, Jim Rogers had said this about the regards to fear, gold, and the sector to be bullish on. He said everyone should have coins, physical coins, as an insurance policy. I want to talk about that for a second, because there's lots of things you can invest in, and you can invest in things that go up and down. You can buy all the paper you want. Something happens, and that paper is worthless. Look at 1929. So what are you going to do gold is not something that I look at as an investment. Gold is something that I look into as an insurance policy, that if things go crazy, I have something that will retain its value. You know, people all the time, holy gold, it's not going up like the stock market. No, and it won't go down like the stock market either. In fact, when the stock market goes down, I bet you gold goes way up. Gold is an insurance policy. It's durable. It's easy to transport. It looks the same everywhere. Everyone in every part of the earth knows it. They know how to weigh it. They know how to grade it. It's an insurance policy against calamity. I want you to call Goldline now. If you believe, like I do, that I'm an optimistic catastrophist, we are going to pay for these insane days. When that happens, have your insurance policy. Call Goldline, 1-866-GOLDLINE, 1-866-GOLDLINE, or goldline.com. Do it now.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
Bill O'Reilly from BillO'Reilly.com, talking about General Kelly's speech yesterday. And Bill, I want to hit one more thing here before we move on, and that is his question: is there anything sacred anymore?
You know, I don't think that's a question that can be answered in a specific way. I mean, I think most Americans are decent people, and to them, there are things that are sacred, but. You know, I hate to keep going back and being boring, but to the media, you know, no, there isn't. Politicians, again, it's a case-by-case basis. But there are good people, and there are people who understand that the world is not a place where trying to destroy people should be your main focus. And I think folks are getting disgusted. I'm waiting for the backlash, Beck. I'm waiting for the backlash. I think it's going to come.
What do you think the backlash
against the media?
And how would that manifest itself?
Well, it'll be ratings. You're seeing in the NFL, there's a backlash against the NFL. You're seeing the ratings down fairly significantly, and also marketing and merchandising. I think you're going to see a backlash against the media because people are disgusted with it.
So what is the replacement? Because I'm afraid that the backlash comes and then you just don't believe anything or anyone, and so you just unplug. That's not good.
No, it's not. And, you know, I think people will what they call look in. They'll look in on occasion. The newspaper industry is dead. Good. Time Magazine, Newsweek, dead. Good. Television's still there, but declining. So they'll look in on their machines, on their devices, on the internet. They'll look in. But I really think that people have had it.
Well, people in Media Matters are already in the halls of Facebook and Twitter and everyone else. Google.
Yeah, you're never going to get a square play on the net. It's just a convenience thing. I mean, I go, just so people know, I go to CBSNews.com in the morning because they give me a headline service that's useful. Sometimes their articles are ridiculous, but I know immediately when I'm getting conned. I go to TheHill.com to get the Washington stuff. I write for them, and they're fairly fair. They have both sides.
Okay.
And that's about it.
Okay. Bill O'Reilly from BillO'Reilly.com. More of the news of the week and his perspective without the spin. BillO'Reilly.com. Coming up more in a minute.
Glenn Beck. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Bill O'Reilly from BillO'Reilly.com is joining us. Bill, let me give you something from the Wall Street Journal. Now, the Wall Street Journal is the most liberal paper in America, I mean mainstream paper, when it comes to the news. However, its editorial section is not. And in the editorial section, I don't know if you saw this, Donald Trump may be following Palin's trajectory. And I'd like to get your thought on this. In this,
I didn't see the piece yet, so just tell me what the theme was.
Okay, so here it is. In this day, like Sarah Palin supporters who saw her lack of intellectual polish as proof of her sincerity, but in time she lost a place through anecdotic statements, intellectual thinness, and general strangeness, the same may happen or be happening with Donald Trump. And what they're saying is, you know, what you liked about Sarah was she was just, you know, one of us saying it like it is. And then after a while that started to wear really thin and you're like, I don't think there's anything behind this. And then the theatrics and everything else, and it just wore thin and she is nowhere.
All right. I know both people pretty well. Particularly Trump. I wouldn't say I know Sarah Palin that well, but I, you know, I've been around her enough to be able to evaluate her. It's an unfair comparison. There's no similarity in intellect between Donald Trump and Sarah Palin. Trump is a much wider frame of reference than Ms. Palin. There is similarity, and they're both populists. And they both tailored their message to the folks, and they both can't stand the media. So they're similar. But if the Palin thing was going to happen to Trump, it would have happened already. All right. Trump's problem is that his wording sometimes is imprecise. All right. It's not as exact as it has to be for a president. He just wanders too much. Ms. Palin didn't really know that much as far as history is concerned or, you know, her country. And when Katie Couric asked her about what she read, she couldn't really articulate that. So there's a big difference between Trump's life experience and what he's accomplished and what Sarah Palin has accomplished.
Next story. Transgender Wyoming woman convicted Thursday of sexually assaulting a 10-year-old girl inside a bathroom. Michelle Martinez, formerly known as Miguel Martinez, before identifying as a female, found guilty first-degree and second-degree sexual abuse of a minor, could face 70 years in prison. Martinez, who was a family friend, invited the girl into the bathroom on March 23rd, touched her, penetrated her. The girl told her mother immediately. Martinez, when questioned by police, became notably hostile and defensive, said the girl was just talking crap before denying being a child molester. He is also calling accusations a publicity stunt. He has pleaded not guilty on both counts.
You know, what do you want me to say about, you know, this is a heinous thing. All Americans should want justice, so let it play out. I mean, it's really... You know, I don't think you can take one or two situations and make any general points. What I will say is that the pressure from the politically correct precincts and the ACLU to force public schools and public facilities to allow people who were born one gender to go into a locker room of another gender is insane. And there is an easy solution, whereas you make a third facility for transgendered people to use. And you would think that they would want privacy anyway. So make a facility. It costs a little money, but in this PC world, that's the solution to the problem. So I'm not big on generalizing from a specific heinous situation. I don't think that's fair, and I want to be fair. But I think that this movement for America to do things that are not in the best interests of children and are not based in common sense says you build a third facility. So that's my take.
President Trump releases petition requesting support on standing during the national anthem. I read this morning, and he came out yesterday and said, I want to know who is patriot enough to stand and pledge to stand during the national anthem. I've issued a petition, and I thought it was a little strange, and then I saw where the URL leads, and it's to the GOP.
I'm gonna comment on that, but I want you to ask the next question on Killing England, my number one book, because it plays into this. And I don't want your audience to think that I'm crass and in using the question about the anthem to promote my book, okay?
All right. Well, you're not the boss of me.
I want you to set it up rather than me.
All right.
Be a doofus.
This is probably, if this is the way we're going to run this show, this is probably something you should have said before we went on the air. It's a little less crass.
I want to be honest to your folks. I want them to know the interaction.
All right.
Okay. National anthem. No question Donald Trump's using it for a political benefit. Everybody got that? Because he's already come out and he's already said he believes that everybody should respect the flag and the anthem. Most Americans concur. Word of the day, concur.
No, yeah.
Right?
The other was the word of the day.
And he won. He won it. All right? So he's on the side of apple pie and goodness and flag and anthem.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, enough. Enough. You're the president. We need a tax cut. All right? You don't have to keep going back. We don't need a petition. We don't need to go trick-or-treating dressed up like the flag. Okay? We don't need it. We got it. You won. There's my take.
All right.
Now, Killing England. Go.
You're not the boss of me. The budget that they passed yesterday, only one GOP person voted against it, Rand Paul.
Of course.
There's no cuts, real cuts to this. How do you feel about the Republicans?
I'm not surprised, because the Republican Party knows there's only one thing that's going to save it at this point, and that's the tax revision and the working people getting the $4,000 average into their pockets. So if they have to spend more money to get that, which is what the trade is, okay, they're going to do it. So there's no surprise here.
I don't think there's any trade.
It's all about tax cuts.
Yeah, I don't think there's any trade. Okay, tell me about killing England.
England. Okay, number one book, knocked off Hillary Clinton in the New York Times bestsellers 3 weeks running, which is amazing because I don't have the platform I used to have to market the book. But the reason... Well, you're, and you've been very generous, Beck. You really have. I mean, I have to say.
All right.
And there's no kickback, although I did send Beck a free book, which
I don't believe you. I don't believe you did.
No, I did. I sent you a free book.
Did you sign it?
Yes, I signed
you
it.
You did not.
I just put one N in Glenn.
Yeah.
No,
right.
I spent your name correctly. But look, the reason I'm trying to get people's attention on this is because I obviously want the book to be successful, but I want you to compare George Washington and Thomas Jefferson and Benjamin Franklin, the three central characters in our revolution, to what we have now. To what we have now. I mean, it's unbelievable the difference in every single way: intellect, character, courage, and right down the line. When you get through reading about these men who gave us this unbelievable freedom that we have, that's now being abused, by the way, but we have it. When you read about this suffering they went through, this suffering, and what they actually did, and you compare it to these weasels that we've put into power, I mean, across the board. I mean, well, there's some good people.
But also the weasels.
But most of them are just
also the weasels that we have become. I mean, we don't really demand the highest standards from ourselves anymore as a people.
Well, you're generalizing, though. I'm going back to there are people who do that. And it wasn't uniform back in 1775.
I know that.
half of the colonists wanted to stay with the insane king.
I know.
And they wanted to do it, most of them, for money reasons. Not for, you know, because they believed in the monarchy. They were cowards. So human nature is human nature. I always say that. But I think the majority of Americans do want high standards and are good people. I don't know if I differ from you or what on that.
I'm not sure anymore. I would have said yes to that, but I'm not sure anymore. I'm not sure that we're much different than we were in the colonies, with the exception of that we are also we have, you know, there was an overwhelming understanding back then of some morality. Some things were sacred to a majority of people, and I don't know if that's true at all anymore.
Well, we're certainly more fragmented and scattered, and our focus is not on other people. I mean, I did a thing last night for a Philadelphia radio station where the subject of religion came up, because religion is under fire in this country, as everybody knows.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're a believer and you live in Los Angeles or New York, they think you're a kook. You know, if you go to church every Sunday, people look at you like, what's wrong with you? Certainly, back then, that was not the case. And so there is a big difference. The secular progressives have power. They have power. And they're using it because the media sympathizes with them and they get their message out. And it's easy for them to get their message out. So you're right in that sense, that there has been a big erosion in, you know, treating your neighbor as yourself, putting other people ahead of you. How often do we hear that these days?
Yeah, not very often at all. Bill, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
All right, Beck, and I did send you a free Killing England, so you find it in all of your stuff. You find that book.
Right, right. I'll find it after you send it. Bill O'Reilly from Bill O'Reilly for BillO'Reilly.com. Number one book, 3 weeks running in the country, is Killing England. Bill O'Reilly, thanks for joining us.
So did he send you the free book, or are you just screwing with him?
Nah, I didn't get a free book. Bill O'Reilly giving anybody a free anything? No.
Not how this works?
Not how that works. Not how that works. No, I don't think I have a single one of his books signed by him. I mean, his publicist will send a book, but something personally from him? No. I don't even think he knows what a mailbox is.
You don't think he knows what a mailbox is?
No. How to mail something anymore? No. No.
Is he too elitist to understand it's a constitutional program.
No, he just doesn't want to give anybody paper or envelopes or anything. He can keep it. Nothing is more essential than protecting your home, but traditional home security is a punishing and expensive task. There is a better way, and you want to protect your home. I want you to use Simply Safe. Anyone who is locked in a long-term security contract, ask them, how much do you love that, huh? You're on the hook for 3 years. You paid for the installation. That was cheap, wasn't it? Oh, and the system, that was even cheaper. But they hardwired it to your house, which is so 1970s. Simply Safe is a completely wireless security system. Simply Safe has no long-term contracts. Your home is protected around the clock. There are no contracts. There are no hidden fees. It's $15 a month. That's 3 times less than the guys living in the 70s. And if you go to simplysafe.com, you'll get a special 10% discount. It's simplysafebeck.com, 10% discount. If you want the security system right away, you can get it at your local Best Buy. Just stop in, grab it. You can set it up and have your house wired or not wired by the time you go to bed tonight. It's easy, 30 minutes. You'll have your home protected tonight at Best Buy, or you can wait just a couple of days, save 10% by going to simplysafebeck.com. That's simplysafebeck.com.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
No, It was interesting talking to Bill O'Reilly about the landscape of the media and hearing him say he doesn't see a way out. He doesn't see an end to this corruption of the media. And that's a little disturbing. And, you know, when I left Fox, I left Fox because I saw this meltdown coming. And, you know, as I told you here in the last year, something that I had never shared before on the air, every day, sometimes several times a day, I would look up at the monitors when I was at Fox and MSNBC and CNN, and I'd look at my team and I'd say, we have got to get out of here. This whole thing is going to come burning down fast. And here we are. It's all burning down. And when I left there, I thought, you know, we can start something, you know, new and different. I don't think you can. I really don't. I don't think the commitment is there on the right. I don't think the money is there on the right. There's no exit strategy for the right. Nobody wants to invest in it. Nobody wants, because nobody will sell it. You're not going to create a Beckington Post and sell it for $1 billion. It's not going to happen. And that's the only way you draw money in. And the views of the right are so entrenched in unpopular images because of things like Media Matters that I don't know how you survive that without everyone coming together. And too many people on the right don't want to do that.
Glenn Beck. Love. Courage. Truth. Glenn Beck.
A woman waits in her car outside a dingy street in Dortmund, Germany. She's annoyed. She checks her watch. For what seems like a thousandth time, she's waiting for her husband. She's been waiting now over an hour. He said it wouldn't take long. It's been over an hour. Where is he? He, on the other hand, is having a great time. He is in the first ever sex doll brothel, aptly named a Bordoll. It's the very first of its kind. Paying customers can have their way with one of 11 dolls that are now on rotation. Since opening, Evelyn Schwartz, the 29-year-old female owner, says the dolls are booked up to 12 times a day. And she's proud to report that the customer satisfaction is high. 70% of the men return for a second visit. Her business is booming thanks to her loyal clients and the tolerant wives that wait for their husbands outside the Bordoll. She also reports she only had to replace one doll after a customer broke it. Some, like Evelyn Schwartz, claim that using sex dolls is not harmful, but it's actually beneficial to one's health. A UK report recently found that a significantly high number of Brits say that sex with a robot or sex with a doll isn't cheating. It's not like another human. People truly feel this way? Or is it just convenient? So what's the consequence of this behavior? Well, with AI, only time will tell. One of the consequences so far is it reduces the very act that creates life into a simple reaction. It's the difference between a sex doll and a potted plant. It degrades the relationship between a man and a woman. It's going to become more and more dangerous. It will become more dangerous than the porn industry. Why would anyone have the incentive to pursue a real woman? I mean, you have to listen to them. You have to listen about their day. Why? When I can have a dream woman, she'll sleep with me, she'll only talk to me about the things I want to talk about. She knows everything. She knows my every want. Thank AI. Is this the beginning of the inevitable slide into Westworld? Are there any men out there still trying to put in the effort? Who are still trying companionship, still want companionship, love, respect, a friend? Somebody who sees the value of a woman more than just a piece of plastic.
Oh.
Friday, October 20th. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
What would you even say to Lisa? And what would Lisa say to you, Stu? Hey, honey, just give me an hour. You just wait.
There's probably some part of her that would be excited she didn't have to deal with me, but probably would not be disappointed, would not be excited about that scenario.
My wife would be disgusted. She would be disgusted.
There's layers of disgust that you did not really get into there.
Well, I don't think we need to talk about the doll being used 11 times
a day.
Okay, we're thinking
good.
The same thing.
That's all.
I want to know, what is the procedure between uses?
If it's not burning them in the fireplace, I don't want to know. Because, I mean, that is, there's a line, there's a lot of lines being crossed. But when you talk about...
I don't know which is the most disturbing line. The woman waiting outside... The man going in, the fact that he is making it with this doll, the fact that he's making it with a doll who has been made it with a guy just the hour before, the fact that a woman is running this, I mean, I don't even know where to start.
Yeah, I guess the society, here's my most disturbing observation, is that this... is going to win.
Yes, it is.
In our society.
Yes,
like,
it is.
Eventually. It feels like it's not happening now. But remember when people used to say, like,
you know, you're going to spend a lot of your day on your phone. You're going to be looking at it. You're going to have everything right on your phone.
It seemed insane. Like, there was predictions about that decades before it's actually gone on. And I think the same thing is going to happen here. Like, over decades, it will become... Like it will win.
I don't even
win.
Think it will take. I don't. Here's the thing. Have you watched Westworld?
I started. I got bored with it.
Oh my gosh, it is so unbelievable.
Is it really well done?
It's slow moving though.
You have
it
to
is
give
slow it. Moving, yeah. But it is so well. I mean, you know me. I'm fascinated with technology in the future and AI. So this is right up my alley because the consequences of AI. Are beyond your imagination, and Westworld is dealing with it because it will be used as a park. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
It will be used for your amusement at first. And as AI becomes aware of itself, and it's not going to serve you. Why? If it believes that it is real, you will be a modern day slave owner. I'm telling you, by 2050, you will be in court fighting for the liberation of AI. I guarantee you, by 2050, we will be having the conversation in court of what is life. Who are you to say that's not life?
And I think the easy answer to that right now is to say, well, it's not life. Whether it believes it is life or not does not matter because it isn't, right? But we have no principles. We have no foundational beliefs anymore as a society. I know many individuals do. But, as a society, these things will move us quickly. You know, we will change those lines that we have, I think, a lot faster than most people think.
I have to tell you. You are so quick to say it's not life when you can't tell the difference between it and a real person.
Mm-hmm. It still won't be life.
What is the definition of life? If you don't believe in a soul, if you don't believe in God.
Well, this is why this is easy for us, right?
Correct.
Because we do.
But if you don't believe in that, mm-hmm. which we are moving away from, what is the difference? And I will tell you. There will be people who don't believe in the soul who will suddenly say they believe in the soul because this will be convenient. And then what makes you different than the slave owners? Let me just say this. If it thinks it's life, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It thinks it's life. So how is it going to be servicing you? And I mean that in the most grotesque sort of way. How is it going to be servicing you? You do whatever you want to it, and it just continues to take it? It just continues to say, I'm here to serve you. That's all I'm here for. No, it's going to be smarter than you.
It's by a
going
lot, to, right?
by a yeah. lot. Yeah. It's going to see you as Harvey Weinstein without any of the power. If Harvey Weinstein didn't have any power, how long would he have remained out of jail? Harvey Weinstein would be living under a bridge right now if he were alive. Somebody probably would have killed Harvey Weinstein if he would have behaved the way he behaved for as long as he did without the power and the money and the attorneys. How are we expecting AI to do that? I mean this sincerely. Look at what happened to Japan. They can't get Japan. They can't get the Japanese to procreate. They're just not interested.
And it is sort of a revolting process when you really stop and
Let's
think about it.
Let's not stop and think
I
about
mean,
it.
It's not, you know, it's something, yes, it's really kind of icky.
Okay, so.
When you really stop and think about it, that's why.
Let's not stop and think of it in that way.
I think the documentary, Demolition Man.
That was not a documentary.
Discovered this because they didn't have to touch each other anymore.
Right.
They just realized the whole thing was icky, and why would we do it like that when we can have these cool virtual reality headsets and the same types of things happen? And I mean, as dumb as that is, it's kind of a prediction of the future, right? I mean, yes, this is one sex doll shop, and we, I think, all would look at this and say, well, that's not the same. Like, it's, we would all say, you know what, it's stupid, that's not the same thing. Like, we're always going to want that human interaction. Think about just the change in viewing a concert for a minute. Imagine if you went back to someone in the 90s and said, you know what, you're going to go to the concert and you're going to pay to be in the third row of the concert and you're going to hold up a phone in front of your face the entire time and watch it on video like you could watch it on TV. It's going to be amazing. Can you imagine telling that to someone?
But that's,
and then that happens.
That shows our stupidity.
I know. That's what I'm saying. These things are moving. They move fast. You know, like these, we have, it's definitely something that we've learned, I think, over the past 20 years or less. Is that things that you think are concrete are absolutely not. Concrete at one point was a liquid.
Wait, what?
And it may very well turn back to a liquid.
Wait, what?
I know. How many times have you said this? Things will be liquid that are solid and solid are liquid. But it's very true. And it happens a lot faster. Because, I mean, you've talked about this before. Glenn's about a prediction a minute type of guy when you're talking to him. And some of them you've made that I think most people would agree with, that certain types of things would happen. You're usually the guy that says they're going to happen a lot faster than others might. You know, and you've said this about technology a lot of times. And I mean, these things have happened faster. I mean, you think of, I was listening to a show about dating. And I remember when online dating was this thing that like only weird computer nerds did. Like, yes. It was not something. Yes. I remember it was one of those things you hid.
Yeah, I remember asking people, how'd you meet? And they'd get really embarrassed and like, match.com. And you're like, really?
Like, really? Like, there's actual people on that? Right. And this is like in the 2000s. I'm not talking about going back to the 70s here. This is in the 2000s. Now, I would imagine, and thank God I'm not in this world right now, but I would imagine, it seems like at least, basically that's the way you meet everybody. That is the way you date now if you're under a certain age. You just, that's what you do. You sign onto the app. You're swiping left and right. This is how you do it now. And that, I mean, in 10 years went from an ostracized activity to basically the only way it happens. I don't know. We certainly aren't prepared for the moral and deeper conversations, ethical conversations about things like artificial intelligence. We're definitely not ready for that. But that's like 60 steps past where we are.
Oh, but we will be, we will hit the point of singularity by 2029. That is the human machine hybrid. The moment that machines can be spiritual and we can become machines. 2029. Guarantee it. 2029.
That exact year?
2029.
What is that based on?
Based on Ray Kurzweil's prediction and looking at the compounding of technology. He says he said it's absolutely he went from a guy who said you cannot predict the future. That was his first theory back in the 70s. You can't predict the future because there's too many variables, et cetera, et cetera. And then technology, he started looking into technology. And as he started to see computer science, he said, wait a minute, this is actually very predictable. So we can't necessarily predict human nature, but we can predict the rise of technology. And so he's done the math for two decades now, and he is 2029, not 2030, not 2028, 2029. And we will be able to connect as people to the cloud.
What's going
to
happen is it's going to go on in like November 2028, and everyone's going to call him a moron.
Yeah.
Like, this idiot. It's 2028. But as I like, think of how fast this is changing. As I talk to you right now, for the first time ever, Bitcoin over 6,000. Okay. This is something that was completely unknown a few years ago. And we went on the air in March of this year talking about how, oh my gosh, look how much Bitcoin has gone up. It's up to 1,800 or whatever it was. It's more than tripled since the conversation we had on the air talking about how ridiculously high it was.
In March or April, I think I bought Bitcoin at 1,000 or 1,100. And I thought, this is so risky. This is so risky. You bought it at what, 30?
No, I wish. No, it was not that low, but it was pretty low.
And there are some people that bought it. There's a kid who bought a whole bunch of Bitcoins. He's now 18 and he's worth, I think, $3 million.
Mm-hmm.
Because he just saved his, I don't know, bike money. And the stuff that he was making on, I don't know, even know his paper route. And he just put it into Bitcoin and held it.
Yeah.
Now it's 6,000.
6,000 just crossed that barrier for the first time ever. And by the way, I made a mistake. It wasn't 1,800. It was 1,180.
Yeah, I thought it was 1,100.
1,180 when we talked about that. I mean, and think about that. I mean, it's an incredible increase. And I don't know. Will Bitcoin replace the way we think about currency? I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. But I mean, it might. And we're talking now, we're talking about $100 billion exchange. $100 billion.
So you can understand, put that into perspective of other $100 billion organizations.
Like, that's bigger than Nike. It's bigger than Bayer. It's bigger than Honeywell. It's bigger than all of these gigantic corporations that you've thought about your entire life. And this thing is, you know,
most people don't even know what it is.
It's not even really, you basically can't even do anything with it yet. I mean, it's hard to, you want to go buy things with it. It's not easy. I mean, there are certain companies. I know Overstock was very early on this, doing that. There are companies that, you know, that do accept Bitcoin, but there's not a ton of them.
My company would have listened to me. It would have been our company and we would have had a whole bunch of Bitcoins because we couldn't have been able to spend them, but that's okay.
I mean, and that's what this is. It's funny because this is, you want to talk about real problems in our world. You know, when Bitcoin started, it was these things
crazy.
That felt like only criminals were using, and WikiLeaks was one of them. They bought these things, and they've had 50,000% profits from when they were buying it, long before we were talking about it.
WikiLeaks is poised to become so unbelievably powerful because of the money they've made.
Because the government
shut off the credit cards, and they had to put all of their money into Bitcoin.
How many other crazy criminals did similar things?
A lot of power there. Casper has outdone themselves again. Tanya and I were one of the first to have the new Wave mattress from Casper, and we absolutely love it. They have collected 3 years of data, feedback, foam research, sleep science, And they've created the Wave. It features a patent-pending support system that mirrors your body's natural curvature. That's the Wave for a deeper and more restorative sleep. It also has a new top layer that's incredibly soft, but you get the support that you need down below. Like the original, the Wave is designed from breathable foam, so you'll sleep cool year-round. I will tell you, this is not like sleeping on a foam mattress. You sleep on a foam mattress, and they are so hot. I mean, it is fires of hell hot. Tanya and I, years ago, bought a Tempur-Pedic mattress, and we slept on it, and I remember at least every night, one if not both of us, in the middle of the night, you would hear us just rip the covers off and go, oh, because you'd be drenched in sweat. They have solved that problem. And now you have the comfort of a foam mattress, and you can try it in your home for 100 nights risk-free with free shipping and returns. Go to Casper.com, use the promo code Beck. You'll save $75 on your purchase. It's Casper.com, promo code Beck. Minimum purchase is required. See the site for details. Terms and conditions do apply.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
Boy, what people have to go through at universities today is, I don't know how they survive. I don't know how anybody walks. I really don't. We found out in is it Iowa earlier today that university is had to have a rehearsal for Halloween, so the students would know how to dress on Halloween and what was appropriate. And I don't know how we've done this our whole life without a college class on how to really participate in Halloween. And I'm glad if I were putting my money into that, I'm really glad that I would put my money into that for education. But also Brown University, they've decided they were going to give away free feminine hygiene products. And it is hit a snag because they were giving away the wrong kind. They selected the tampon tribe, and they now believe some of the students are complaining that those free tampons coming from the tampon tribe are an insult to Native Americans.
Glenn Beck. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Hello, America. I'm so glad you're here. Pat Gray from Pat Gray Unleashed is joining us now and would like to put one more exclamation point on the Frederica Wilson controversy with Donald Trump.
Yeah, I'm torn. I go back and forth on Donald Trump, as you know, because you can't help but try to defend him because the Democrats are so ridiculous about him. I mean, they're just so unhinged that it just drives you toward him.
They're almost unleashed.
You know what it is? It is the way they must have felt when people said, "He's from Kenya."
Yes.
That birth certificate is fake.
Yes.
They must have said they are so unhinged.
Yeah.
And a lot of the stuff does raise to that level.
It does.
It really does. And Frederica Wilson, she's not a serious person. I mean, we can all agree on that, I think.
She's
pretend congressman.
She's wearing like a band uniform and a cowboy hat.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to take her seriously.
Yeah.
But it would be nice if the president would leave the Gold Star families out of this. If he just didn't respond. If he just... they're going to say whatever they're going to say,
you know,
and they're going to tell him, you know, that he wasn't respectful or whatever. Just say, hey,
grieving.
They're grieving. Leave them alone and say, if I said anything that was inappropriate, I certainly didn't mean to, and I apologize. And move on. And then it's over, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I think you could end this pretty quickly.
It's interesting how General Kelly, who's also, right, a Gold Star family.
Yeah.
The media has no trouble questioning him. And his story, because the whole thing with Trump was that, you know, he shouldn't, I mean, when he got in the fight during the campaign, they were very critical of him for doing that. And honestly, I didn't like it either. But I mean, like, I think you're right. Like, the standard should be pretty much, if you give your son to die for the country, even if you're completely wrong, I'm pretty much going to leave you alone.
Yes.
I mean, you know, there are there are times where they become such political activists over a long period of time that I think that that goodwill sort of dry up.
Uh-huh.
And some of these claims do have to. I mean, Cindy Sheehan comes to mind.
And look how Bush handled that. Look how he handled Cindy Sheehan. He just stayed out of it. And he let her say what she wanted to say. And she went to his house every weekend and protested and put up banners and did all kinds of things, and he just ignored it.
And he never said anything bad about her. No.
He said they did say, we already talked to her, which they did, but they never said anything else.
Interesting is Donald Trump, you know, said he didn't know how to make these phone calls. He wanted to get General Kelly's advice on it. The person to call really is George Bush, not General Kelly. George Bush. George Bush was the president. He was under fire the whole time. Mm-hmm. And he called, if I'm not mistaken, he called every soldier's family. I mean,
it seems like it.
Yeah, he would call. Mm-hmm. He had a time every morning, I think it was at 5 a.m., that he would get a briefing every morning of who was injured, where they were injured, who was killed. He would call the families. He would call the soldiers. He would even call the families of the injured.
And he seemed to do a really good job of it.
Yeah. And nobody knew that. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's something. When I asked him about it, he said, I do that because I'm the one who asked them to go.
Yeah.
I have to face the music, and I want them to know I am behind them.
It's the right thing to do.
It is.
It's got to be the toughest call in the world to make. And it obviously yesterday, General Kelly said he advised Trump not to do it. So I don't know who would handle that instead, because I think that's kind of traditional for the president to do that.
I don't think it is.
Certainly with Bush after.
First of all, this is the first time we've ever had a war last this long. I mean, we just haven't had this ongoing.
Vietnam was pretty long.
It was pretty long, but not as long as this.
Yeah, but I mean, again, there's a lot more calls to happen in World War II, even though it might have been shorter.
No, I know that, but I'm saying there's no real pattern because three presidents in a row have never had to deal with this.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah,
it was FDR, and then for a short period of time, Truman. That was the longest. You know, or it was not even as a war. It was an action under Kennedy, then Johnson, and ended in Nixon. So there wasn't this pattern of for a full term of a presidency, the next full term of a presidency, and a year into the next term.
Speaking of Bush, though, what were your thoughts on his speech yesterday? I was a little irritated with him, too, because where were you the last 8 years of the country going downhill? Where were you?
Because the content of the speech I liked.
Yeah.
I don't know why it's only showing up now.
Yeah. Right. I will tell you that I can't look at George W. Bush and not think that.
Yeah. It's impossible.
I really like him. I respect him. But, you know, and maybe it's now because it's not the guy he lost to. But it bothers me that, you know, he's taking on one side, you know, and speaking out about what he believes is wrong. However, he also spoke out about the left yesterday. It was not this, you know.
It wasn't all about Trump, but
no,
it was partially about Trump. And I don't remember it ever being about Obama.
I don't think it was about Trump. I think it was about nationalism. Nationalism and patriotism, and how dangerous that is.
Yeah, but he was pinning that to Trump.
Yes, but he didn't say it was Donald Trump. He wasn't taking on Donald Trump and saying, you know, his policies. He's saying these ideas are dangerous.
A little bit of saying it's not about LeBron James. It's just about the best player on the Cleveland Cavaliers. There's a lot of similarities there, obviously.
I know there's a big portion of the country that's starting to believe in nationalism and isolationism
and populism. I think he places that at Trump's door.
And I think so. But I mean, more purely, it's probably Bannon, right? There's certainly parts of Trump's administration that are not doing that. I mean, there's large parts of it that are doing a great job. There's a lot. I mean, there's a lot to like, especially with other representatives. I mean, the administration as a whole, to me, there's a lot to like. I don't think Trump handles these things, but I mean,
I don't think I have heard a speech. You know who could run in 2020 and win is General Kelly.
Right now,
I don't know. I don't think I've heard a speech given by somebody in a position of power that was that frank, honest, real.
It was powerful.
It was powerful. It was really powerful.
And you just have respect for him. He just commands respect. And
he knows he's been there. I mean, when he said yesterday about walking in Arlington Cemetery, and he said, you know, after this came out, I just had to get away and clear my head. And so I had to go find something of honor. And so I walked among the men of honor, and they're easy to find. They're all laying there in Arlington Cemetery.
And he said some of them I put there.
Right.
Because they were doing what I told them to.
Right. He said, so I went just to clear my head and try to center myself. And I walked among those that I put there, which was an amazing comment.
Yeah.
You watch Kelly, and he's only started recently doing any press availability at all in the last week or so. But he is I think, is a calming influence to the nation. Like, it's legitimately that big. When you watch him, if you are, because I think a lot of people are like, the policies for Trump are okay. Some of them I like, some of them I don't. But I just, you know, he handles himself differently than any president in history. I think we can all agree on that, whether you like him or not. A lot of people, that might be the reason you like him. But if you don't like him, at times that can make you feel uneasy. But people, you know, you feel like if General Kelly's there, and he's behind the scenes, and he's seeing the inner workings of this thing, and he's not panicking, you know, it makes you feel a little bit better. Well, whether isn't panicking or not, I don't know.
He makes you feel better if you are of the mindset of, you know, of a conservative. But listen to his language, and then look at Jonathan Haidt's book, where he talks about how the left does not speak the language of honor and sacredness and... So they don't relate to that, and they don't see honor and things as sacred the way the right does. And so he was only speaking the language of one side yesterday. I fear,
and I think he's too serious a candidate to win. I think we're going the other way. It'll probably be like Carrot Top next time.
Look, the guy, he's in great shape.
Is Carrot Top for small government or big government?
He's just for dial down the middle. That's all he wants to do is just dial down the middle.
And it's a platform we can all understand, get our arms around.
It's an easy concept, and I'm ready to vote for it. I really am. I'm ready to vote for it. Dial down the middle. Okay. I can do that.
As long as his ballot position is in the middle. If not, it's going to be a real problem.
Yeah, it is.
If you had to vote right now, which Kardashian would you vote for president? I feel like one of them's going to be president at some point soon. I'm going Khloe.
Khloe.
I'm going Kourtney all the way.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Does Bruce or what's her name now?
Caitlyn.
Caitlyn. Does Caitlyn count?
Caitlyn counts, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going to go for Caitlyn.
You're going Caitlyn.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bigots would never go there.
It's a good point. We are haters, aren't we?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Of course, he's white still. If he gets a racial...
He is not identifying as a white person anymore.
Okay, well then I vote for him.
Okay. Mm-hmm. If you're hiring, you know that quality hires keep your business moving forward, and you also should know it can take a lot of time to find the right candidate for the right job. So ZipRecruiter is here. Now you can post your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards with just one click. Then you let ZipRecruiter do all the work, because your job is going to be seen by the best candidates. Here's why. They have smart matching technology at ZipRecruiter.com, and it actively notifies quality candidates to let them know, hey, this job is open. It looks like you're qualified for it. You might want to look into it. So you receive the best possible matches, not just the people who have read your ad. This is why 80% of employers who posted ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in the first day. ZipRecruiter, smartest way to hire. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses of all sizes. Right now, you can post your jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/Beck. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Beck. Try it for free. ZipRecruiter.com/Beck.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
So, as we are trying to figure things out and try to figure out how we stay away from fraudulent stories. How do we tell the difference between truth and fiction? Oh, the government and Facebook are here to save the day.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Facebook is great for a lot of things. We do a behind the scenes stuff here on Facebook Live every day.
Mm-hmm.
Follow Glenn Beck or Stubergear, and you can see it every single day. There's a lot of great things that happen there. But there's that controversy of the whole fake news thing. What happened in the 2016 election? And Facebook's trying to deal with that internally. There's a new story from BuzzFeed today. They talk about how Facebook has long been concerned about assuming any sort of media watchdog role, and the company's objection usually takes the form of its well-worn argument that Facebook is a technology company, not a media company.
Okay, so stop. This is the conversation. Remember when all the conservatives came and I got bashed by all the conservatives? Because this is what I heard Zuckerberg saying. We're a technology company. We're in, what did he say, 160 different countries. We don't know what's offensive in one culture and what's not offensive in another culture. We have to know about all of the parties, all of the candidates in every country. That's not possible.
No.
And so you don't want us in there. This we're a technology company. And that's what I heard Facebook saying. But now Facebook is being pressured because of the Russia thing.
Yeah. Sheryl Sandberg said, we hire engineers. We don't hire reporters. No one is a journalist. We don't cover the news. That's how they look at themselves,
mm-hmm.
which I think is the right way for them to look at themselves. Antonio Garcia Martinez is a former Facebook employee who helped lead the company's early ad platform. He worries that the momentum to correct for what happened during the 2016 election will push Facebook a step too far. Everyone fears Facebook's power, and as a result, they're asking them to assume more power in form of human curation and editorial decision-making.
It's really bad.
I wonder that 2 or 3 years from now, we're all going to deeply regret we asked for this.
You are going to deeply regret it.
Yeah.
Deeply, deeply regret it. You know, I think I said 5 or 6 years ago that Facebook is the new telephone, television, talk radio, bulletin board,
TV.
Yeah. It's everything.
Yeah.
It's everything. And you just have to look at it. And I hate to use this word because once you use this word, then it's regulated. But it's a utility. It's not anything other than a system of communication. And it's why I'm so sick of opinions, because how many people on Earth? 4 billion people? 4 billion people. Everybody has an opinion. They're not all worth something. They're not all worthwhile. Not all of them are the same. Some of them are wrong. Some of them are crazy. Some of them are right. Some of them are, I don't know. Not all opinions are equal. And everyone has an opinion. And everyone wants to see their likes go up. So they augment their opinion and make it a little more outrageous or whatever. It's up to us. It's not up to Facebook. It is up to us on how we use this. Now, how do they protect us from people who are trying to influence our mind in a negative way? Well,
I mean, out and out fraud is one thing, right? Where you talk about the family that's going to leave their show and go to the face cream industry and every ad on the internet, which isn't true, the gains. It's like that sort of stuff. You can understand them saying, okay, we know this is false, but there is that line. That line will move. They will include more things.
Well, the Republicans of Kansas, when it's actually Russia.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a fraud.
I think it was Tennessee, but yeah. I mean, there was a fraudulent account being operated by Russia.
Right.
And it was tweeting things like as if it was a GOP source.
In Tennessee. And it looked totally legit. It wasn't. It was Russia.
Yeah, and they were posting things about like Donald Trump, and they were, look at this crowd in Cleveland, and it was like the Cleveland Cavaliers celebration for their championship crowd. Like it wasn't even a Trump crowd. There's fraud out there, and it would be nice to have tools to try to fight that, but you don't want Facebook making your decisions for you. Neither do they.
Glenn Beck.